them, please. And we're going to look at some scripture here this morning in Luke chapter 14. And I'm going to do something a little bit different here this morning. So I need you, somebody to help me back there with the lights here in just a minute. Luke chapter number 14. Luke 14, and everybody knows this scripture. We're going to prepare ourselves for the next month. And I've really, really been burdened the last few days. My vision and burden for the bus ministry has been heavy. I'm telling you, heavy. When I look at them kids and I see them come in the door, something turns a flip down here in my soul. And we got a big crowd on the buses today. They're not in here. They're all back yonder, and you should be glad. Most of them are back there in junior church this morning. And I saw them jumping off them buses in the rain coming to the house of God. And I'm telling you, our church believes in the bus ministry. And we believe in witnessing and being a witness. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit this morning. One word that I'll look at, Luke 14, verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, that would be us symbolically in this scripture, go out into the highways and hedges, every little street, every little driveway, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. It's God's will that every church be full, if it's a Bible preaching church. And that word I want to look at this morning is compel. Compel. One of the greatest privileges that we have and you'll ever enjoy is you bringing somebody to church and then them seeing their life change and get saved and get right with God. You know that? That's one of the greatest privileges and joys you'll ever experience as a Christian. I've seen people to whom church became boring and sort of a routine and drudge, and I've seen them get involved in the bus ministry or something, start bringing people to church with them, and their eyes just light up. There's something about obeying that scripture that nothing else will do for you. I'm preaching to everybody here this morning, little, big, young, old, rich, poor, black, white, every color nation that we have in this room today, I'm talking to you. The greatest privilege you've got and joy that you'll ever have is bringing somebody else to God. The Bible said in John 1, Andrew brought his brother, Simon Peter. And then Peter turned around and brought somebody else. Then they turned around and brought somebody else. Then they brought somebody else. Then they brought somebody else. And somebody started a church and preached that caused me and you to get saved. We are all here today. Everybody here got saved in a church or because of one. Everybody here. If you didn't get saved in a church, you got saved because of a church. Some church somewhere reached out and got the gospel to me and you. I got the gospel put in me when I was a little kid by my mother. And all them years, I knew that there was a God. And you know where mom got it? From her mom. You know where she got it? Church. You know where I got saved? In church. You know what the greatest thing in this world is? The Lord's church. This in this world. I've been shocked this week. You know, of all the prophetic things we've been talking about that supposed to take place, they've been happening right on schedule. I don't think they blowed Switzerland up with that machine yet, but a lot of things. I have been absolutely shocked at what we've seen. While most people have been asleep and going about their daily routine business, I saw with these two eyes one of the scariest, if not the scariest thing I've ever seen since I've been saved. And that was Thursday, I believe it was, Thursday or Friday one, it might have been Friday, when the Pope went to Ground Zero at New York City, and they had on the platform, did you see that on the news? I never thought we'd see that with our own eyes. The Pope was there, and they had about 10 or 12 people around him. You talk about diversity. there was a Buddhist monk right here wrapped up in an orange blanket or so, whatever they wrapped themselves up in. Then there was a Jewish rabbi. Jewish rabbi don't even believe the New Testament. Does not believe Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Does not believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. Don't even believe what I'm preaching right now. The Pope supposedly does. The Buddhist monk don't. The Jewish rabbi don't. The Buddhist monk got up and went, and the devil come in there and he's talking to Buddha. Then they had a Hindu priest. Then they had a Muslim leader right at ground zero. And it was like, and CNN, anytime CNN puts something in a good light, you know it's of the devil. It's of the devil. And they're led by the devil. And I've heard people say, well, my goodness, everything the Pope said sounded good to me. You don't identify a false prophet by what they say. You identify them by what they won't say. And you know what he would not say? Nothing personal. He might be a good man. Maybe a lot better man than me. Nothing personal. This is not personal. This is doctrinal. This is spiritual. The Bible said in Matthew 23, not to call no man on earth your father. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 2 that there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. No pope, no priest can get through to God for you. I can't, and nobody else can either. You got to go to God through Jesus Christ. Amen? Right. And here you identify what they won't say. You never heard the blood of Jesus mentioned. You never heard the word salvation by grace mentioned. You never heard hell, you never heard the word hell mentioned. You never heard the word Jesus said, I am the way. Listen, if you'd have put the Apostle Paul on that stage and let him get that microphone, Paul would have said, I was a sinner on the road to Damascus, but there was a light struck me down, and Jesus Christ saved me, and it's by His name, through His name. You're wrong, Buddhist. You're wrong, Muhammad. You're wrong, Jewish rabbi. The Apostle Paul, and you know what they'd have done? They'd done exactly what they'd have done when he was here. They said, away with this fella. It is not fit that he should live. They'd have got rid of him. Listen, you talk about an ecumenical magpie's nest. You talk about a one world. That's the closest I've ever seen in my life to a one world religion. We're saying we'll forget all of our differences and we all love each other. And the main message is save Mother Earth. For she is what God wants us to do. I'm going to tell you this morning, this ain't what I'm preaching on, but I'm going to tell you this morning, there ain't no verse in the Bible that says we're supposed to save the earth. You want me to tell you what God thinks about the environment? 2 Peter or chapter 3, He's going to burn it up one of these days. Set it on fire and burn the whole thing up. That's what God thinks about the environment. Environmental movement. Now, you'll find out if you believe the Bible or you're just a religious person that likes to hear religious talk every now and then. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in the last days if I've ever seen them in my life. The last blood moon is tonight, you know, and going into the morning. And while that was all taking place on TV, I thought, man, they don't even realize what's going on all over the world. Right now, the world made the step. We said it was going to happen. The world made a step this week. The biggest in my lifetime toward a one world government and a one world religion. If you don't believe it, you check it out on it. Look on the internet about what they did not say and false Christ and false prophets, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But I'll tell you this morning, I'm glad me and you still have a little time to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Does it work? It sure does. Let me tell you something right now. We had two ladies in our church this week. Ladies, all you men ought to be embarrassed if you don't ever do this. Two ladies in our church. Ladies in our church. Got to lead somebody to the Lord or get somebody right with God. I think Miss Chanel over there, she got, was it a relative or somebody? She sent me a text the other day, pray, so-and-so's in a mess, and she drove her car 45 minutes. About 2 hours later, I got a text, and my phone went, whoo, like that. And she said, I'm on shouting ground, led him to the Lord. Raise your hand there, sister. Led that guy to the Lord. You know what that is? That's great, people. You don't do anything no greater than that on this earth. Rhonda, Miss Rhonda, she couldn't come this morning. Miss Janie's had a hard week. She was out over there the other day, and she had Rhonda's the one that's got that little car out there with all them bumper stickers all the way around it.
You talk about bumper stickers, that's Brother Ray's legacy, living on. And for all you people that think that's silly, you had that thing over there in town the other day, and a man looked at them bumper stickers and read every one of them and got under conviction. Rhonda come out, talked to him, prayed with him, got right with God. And you know what? He's in church here this morning. Right there he is. Raise your hand there, brother. Raise your hand there, John. This man right here. I like that. For bumper stickers on a car. I'm telling you this morning, I bet old Rhonda was shouting the other day when she called me. And we went and picked up John this morning. Amen. He's from Michigan. Don't hold that against him. That's what he told me. But y'all make John welcome. You know what? There's people everywhere. There's people everywhere that need the gospel. That need the gospel. That need the gospel. That need the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our job. I just want to say a couple things right quick. Number one, everybody can bring somebody. Listen, when you take them little orange things and you say, look here, my preacher's going to preach on this. Our church is doing this. Will you come? I don't know. That's when you get their ear. That's what compel means. In the Greek, grab their ear. And grab it right there. And boy, pull right there, boy, and yank on that ear and say, you're going. No, I ain't. Yes, you are. No, I ain't. Yes, you are. Ladies and gentlemen, we must have a burden. We must have a burden. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to know the Bible backwards and forwards. You just need one thing, a burden. A burden. You know how come young converts can win people the Lord all the time? Because they got a burden. You know how come old converts never bring nobody to church or anything? Because your burden leaves. And we need to pray that God will give us a burden. The other night I was praying. And I was praying for our bus kids. And I said, God, give me a burden. Lord, let my burden be real. And you know what? I read about this man that had a dream. And this man had this dream. And he had been tired of his work and his ministry, and he's wanting to die. He said, Lord, just kill me. I just want to die. Well, in his dream he died, and he went to heaven. And he was up in heaven, and an angel or somebody took him, and he said, look way down yonder. And he looked, and there's a big old pit like that. And there was people walking around everywhere with blindfolds on them, like this, just going like this, falling off in this hole. And they was walking around like that, falling off in the hole. He said, do you know what that is? And that man said, is that earth where I've been living all my life? He said, that's right. He said, up here, we can see the real shape of the world. And there was people, everybody had on blindfolds. And they're just walking around, falling off in that big hole, screaming. And that man said, that's the world that I lived in? And he said, yeah. And about that time, he woke up. And he said, God, if you'll let me go back down. And he said, Lord, let me go back. Let me go back. And the Lord said, you sure you don't want to stay up here? He said, no, let me go down there and try to reach some of them, because I'm going to be up here with you forever. And buddy, he said he went back, tried to witness to everybody he could. Ladies and gentlemen, when we get to heaven, which may not be very long at all, when we get to heaven, we're going to say, Lord, if I could go back, I'd go knock on somebody's door. I'd help with a bus route. I'd do something to get somebody to God. I'd talk to the people at work. I'd invite everybody I know. You know why? We need a burden for people. They're falling into hell by the millions. And God, give us a burden. And He's given me one. I've got one this morning. Them kids tore my heart out yesterday. You say, well, Brother Danny, I can't visit a bus route. I've got kids. Kim's got three and no husband to help her. You say, Brother Danny, I work on Saturday. John does too. You say, I've got obligations. Miss Dottie does too. We all do. But ladies and gentlemen, where is our burden for lost souls? We need a burden. Somebody, how long has it been since you really cried and prayed, God save somebody. I want to see somebody get saved. You won't see somebody get saved bad enough, it won't be long. You'll see somebody get saved. Go in the highways, the hedges. You know, I believe the Lord gave us them buses. There'll be people gossip. We visited some people yesterday, and we was out on the route down here. They had 13 on that bus this morning. Kim had 23. In a rain like this, when saved Baptists won't even get out of bed and come to church, she had 23 on a bus. Thank God for people that's got a burden for somebody. You know what? We went to visit yesterday, and Kelly said, "Now these kids come somewhere." So we went and knocked on the door. I didn't even know them. And there was a church right down there. I said, "Boy, I hope that church down there don't get mad at us, because sometimes churches feel like you're not supposed to get anybody from their community because they own it." And that ain't right. That ain't right, and it ain't scriptural. There's all kinds of people live down this road right here that have never come to this church. If another church can run a bus out here and get them, praise God. We ought to have a hallelujah time if they can. Amen? If somebody lives right there, won't go to church, get them somewhere. Get down just a little bit, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me this morning? So who's going to care about these kids? We'll show you something in a minute. And I want you to look. And you're going to see just one of many churches. I'll never forget when God gave us our buses. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. It was a miracle that God gave us buses. And our buses were sent from God, and people sacrificed and gave so we could have them. And you know what? They're like big old golden chariots that pull up at a kid's house, and the little boys and girls come running out and hop on them. Okay, Ron, give me them lights and I'll see. Make sure I got volume. And I want you to watch something. I want to take about 3 or 4 minutes and watch this church in their bus ministry. Should have some volume by now. We don't have none that fancy.
Given sacrificially so we could buy another bus or so we could repair a bus. People like our church here who pays tithes and gives offerings, knowing that a part of their tithes and offerings are going to support the bus ministry. We reach people with the gospel, their marriages is in shambles. Many of the people who come through our church, their mother or father is in trouble with the law. And if they're not in trouble right now, they're going to be in trouble because of the way they're living. Many of the people that ride our buses come from difficult areas. I mean, just difficult areas. I don't read the Oakland Press every day, but for several years I read the Oakland Press, and there was hardly a day go by, but on one of our bus routes, there would be a serious problem. Maybe someone was murdered. Maybe a house was broken into. Maybe a house burned down, and you could go on and on and on and on. Somebody's got to care. Somebody's got to reach out to the people. And I'm not talking about welfare. I'm not talking about social reform. I'm talking about getting the gospel to them and then loving them enough to try to help get them here so we can put them under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, because this is what will bring them hope. Listen to me. Every boy, every girl in the city of Pontiac ought to have hope. Every boy, every girl in the city of Waterford ought to have hope. Every boy, every girl in Clarkston ought to have hope. Every boy, every girl in White Lake ought to have hope. And by the grace of God, we can take this book and we can point them to a God of hope, and somehow, some way, maybe their old or cold heart will be warmed to the extent where they say, you know what? Maybe I can make it. Maybe I can make it. Us ministry is not for sissies. It's not for lazy people. It's for committed people who want to work, roll up their sleeves and work. And if we're going to have a bus ministry that truly makes a difference in people's lives, it'll be because we understand that and we're not afraid to work and put the effort in. Bus workers, I commend you for your love for people, your love for your bus routes, your vision to think that it's going to make a difference. There are a lot of casualties in the bus ministry, but there are also victories.
Amen. Amen. All right. You can go ahead and get that for me, Ron. That's just a little section of one church that believes in the bus ministry. You are blessed today to be a part of a church that believes in the bus ministry. I've got a brand new, fresh burden for bus kids. And I love the Lord giving it to me. I'm going to read you now a poem that Miss Crystal wrote several years ago. Many of you weren't here then. And sometimes when you see buses coming in, a lot of churches seem like they're aggravated with them. All these bunch of little kids running around getting in their way. And we forget what church is all about. Church is not a social club where we come to show off our new clothes or our nice cars or how and brag about all the things we've done this week to all the rich people. That ain't church. Church is caring about people that nobody else care about. I'm tore up this morning. I believe God's give us a chance to do something in the next 4 weeks that we've never seen that before. I believe that. We've set some goals, and we set a goal on the 17th to knock on 1,000 doors. And people say, Brother Danny, why do you set? Because the Bible said where there's no vision, people perish. And you know why I'm in the bus ministry? And I have been since 1980. You know why I'm in the bus ministry? Because I believe there's a hell. If I didn't believe there's a hell, I wouldn't mess with it. If I didn't believe there's a real hell, I wouldn't go to the trouble. It's a lot of expense, it's a lot of money, and it's a headache. I believe there's a hell. And I believe the bus ministry is the number one tool in America for reaching people that nobody seems to care about. Here's the poem. Some see a fight, a push and a shove. I see a desperate cry for love. Some see a brat who acts so bad. I see a boy who's never met his dad. Some see the messes and the trouble they give. I see the poverty in the place where they live. Some see a teen who won't dress right. I see a girl that has to protect herself at night. One out of four, you know. Some see a smart mouth, disrespectful and loud. I see a kid that's made fun of by the crowd. Some see a woman who just comes to use. I see a lady by her drunken husband abused. Some see a drug addict withered and worn. I see a soul the Lord wants reborn. Some see the dirt, the filth, and the rot. I see a kid without Jesus has no shot. Some see a crook whom you don't trust much. I see a man who needs the Lord's touch. Some see kids who holler and yell. I see kids whose parents are in jail. Some see a boy who gives us so much flack. I see a boy whose whole family is on crack. Broken homes, broken lives, merely trying to cope. They need compassion, God's grace, and God's hope. For each lonely girl laying hungry at night, Lord, help me to stay faithful and keep in the fight. For every scared boy who sees his mom hit, Lord, help me to be faithful and not quit. For every mom who needs a new start, Lord, may I show her a compassionate heart. For every man on whom sin has its hold, Lord, help me to make sure the old story is told. Because of the mercy and grace you've shown, Lord, let me show others your love I've known. May others judge gently when these folks you see. If it were not for the grace of God, that's where we'd all be. I know I haven't done much this morning, but I poured my heart out to y'all. Let's all get busy. If you can't go on a bus route, give some money. Kim, she don't have my money for gas to get here half the time. If you have to work, help somebody else. Give some money for tires. Do something. Do something. Do something. If Saturday's your day to work in the yard, guess what? It's winter. Grass ain't going to be needing it, but two more times, garden's over. We need people that commit. She's coming to piano. We need some people this morning to say, you know what, Brother Danny? I'm willing to do. Maybe the person you work with, and you hadn't talked to them about the Lord and their soul. Maybe you say, look, we're going that big day. You say, I'm going that day. That big day, man, we ought to have 30, 40 people out here knocking on doors, one right after another. Listen, if they don't come to the door, they're going to get the plan of salvation in their door. We all got a bucket of water. Everybody's got one. The house might burn down, but don't let the Lord come back in your bucket full. I threw it on there, Lord. It might burn down, but my bucket's going to be empty when Jesus comes. I've got a burden this morning. We went out there yesterday. We went to this little house. I don't know if it was a house or a trailer that was built way down here off exit 111. And we sit up on the porch and it was pouring the rain. And that was the littlest porch I've ever seen. Me, Kelly, and this big yellow dog got high. And you couldn't move here because it was raining. And the door was right here. And if you just knock on the door like that, and that dog was going to eat us up. And them kids come to the door like this. And we told them we was going to come and give them church. And their eyes got that big around. It's hard for some of y'all to believe that they're that excited about going to church. But they are. They are. Somebody right now. There's somebody out there right now that you could get to come. Some of y'all got, you're smart, you're talented. You. There's no telling what you could do for God if you just give Him some time. Give Him some time. Give Him some time. Give Him some time. Give the Lord some time. I ain't going to do that. Hell, they'll get me. I ain't going to do that. You know what your problem is? You're selfish. You're selfish. I feel like God's given me so much. I've lived in my life the life of two or three men. I've lived two lifetimes in my life. I really have. I've been so much, done so much, gone so much. I've got two lifetimes in. So the least I can do is give my time to somebody else and try to help them. And I'm willing to do that this morning. You can do whatever you want to. But I believe God's given us a burden for bus kids like I've not seen in years. And I'm looking forward to seeing many, many, many. You can pray. You can give money. You can visit. You can help. Miss Vicki works her bus route every Saturday by herself. Somebody in Lenore, that direction, get in on that. See, teenagers, you want to do something for God? You want God to bless your life? You do something for Him. And you watch. That ain't why you do it. But while you're doing something for God, He'll make sure things. My girls, when they was little, I had people tell me all the time, they said, Danny, there's no way that you can raise three kids and travel and preach. It can't be done. I said, well, we'll see about that. And you know what? I went and preached all the time. All the time. I'm talking
35 weeks a year and pastored full time. And somehow or another, God took care of us. God took care of us. If you'll do what God wants you to do, He'll bless you. Let's stand this morning. This invitation, if you're here this morning, you need to come. Just get out of your seat and come on right now. Let's get down here. Come on, let's pray.